Thank you, Tony. Great job. We appreciate that. Certainly a blessing this evening. Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Going to look at a very familiar story this evening. I'm sure you remember this and are familiar with this. And this story is one of a few that appears in all four Gospels. And we're going to take a look at that this evening. Story of the feeding of the 5,000. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14. Let me say it's an honor to be filling in for Dr. May this evening and stand before all of you. There was one announcement I wanted to mention that didn't make it on the Wednesday night news. I know there's some Sunday school leaders and teachers here this evening. Just as a reminder that our Sunday school leadership training is this Saturday morning. We'll have breakfast from 8:30 until 9. And then our training starts promptly at 9 and we'll go until 12 o'clock. Going to have a great time, a lot of fun, good training. And it's for all three divisions. One of the things I believe in is all of us in the Sunday school ministry coming together and training together and getting to know each other, and benefits to that as well. So John chapter 6, verse 1 through 14. I did want to mention that just to share with you, I'm still very excited. Our final count on Sunday was 403, and I just give God the glory for that and thank all of you. All right, John chapter 6, verse 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down. And likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. And now as we open your word, pray that this would be receptive to your word. We'll apply it to our lives. Give me the words to say. Speak through me, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is an animal known as the African impala. The African impala can jump over 10 feet into the air and can jump a distance of more than 30 feet. But despite this amazing jumping ability, the impala can be confined or restrained in a wall that's only 3 feet high. That's because the impala will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will land. As Christians, as we go through the journey of life, most of the time, we can't see where our feet will land. As we travel down the road of life, we can't see what lies ahead. As we travel through life, we can't see what's around the corner. You know, when we become a Christian, we're not issued a magical crystal ball to see what the future holds. And like the impala, we become held back or confined by fear and doubt and worry. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we are to live by faith, not by what? sight. We're to live by faith and not by sight. Here it is, listen, for us as believers, faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. Faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. Tonight we're going to talk about our faith as believers. First of all, I want to go through three different types of faith that we find in the scriptures and kind of differentiate between those three types of faith. First of all, in scripture, we see a saving faith. We learn about the saving faith. We're all born into this world as sinners in need of a Savior. When we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, that is through faith. The Bible says we are saved by God's grace through faith. So salvation is based on a saving faith. Number two, there is the spiritual gift of faith. When a person gets saved, there are many different things that take place at that moment. I think I did a series on Wednesday night some time ago about those various things that happens at that moment of salvation. And one of the things that takes place is the Holy Spirit gives us certain spiritual gifts, a primary spiritual gift and maybe one or two secondary spiritual gifts. And one of those spiritual gifts is the spiritual gift of faith. Let me read to you a definition of the spiritual gift of faith. It is the supernatural ability to believe God for things that are His will, but are beyond human ability to accomplish, expect, or explain. You know, I love that. You know, I know my spiritual gift, and I know I don't have the spiritual gift of faith, but sometimes I'm envious and wish I did. I just love that concept of believing God for the big things. Amen? And the spiritual gift of faith, a person that has that, they have an unwavering faith to believe God for the things that you can't humanly explain. So in the Bible, we see saving faith. There's the spiritual gift of faith. And then number three, that brings us to sustaining faith. Sustaining faith. When we become a Christian, life does not become perfect. We all go through the storms of life. We all sometimes find ourselves in the valley rather than or instead of the mountaintop. In the Christian life, yes, there are many good times, but often we find ourselves in the bad times. And it is these difficult times that we live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by sight. We need strong, sustaining faith as believers to keep us standing and to keep us moving. So, three things real quick. Notice here, we're going to look at three things in this story dealing with our strong, sustaining faith. Number one, let's talk about and look at the obvious problem. The obvious problem. Notice verse 5, 6, and 7. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him. For he himself, that's speaking of Jesus, notice that, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. So we see here, Jesus and the disciples crossed over the Sea of Galilee. They walk and climb up on the side of a mountain and find a spot there where they decide to sit down and actually try to get some rest. But notice it says here, a great multitude of people followed Jesus and his disciples. Jesus and the disciples actually went across the Sea of Galilee, obviously, in a boat. They traveled across the sea in a boat. But you see, this great multitude of people walked around the Sea of Galilee, walked around the lake to try to catch up to Jesus and the disciples and join them there on the side of the mountain. And by the way, we see here it says great multitude. It tells us in this passage that they fed 5,000 men, But many Bible scholars estimate that there were between 15 to 20,000 people in this great multitude of people, men, children, and women. So Jesus sees this great multitude, 15 or 20,000 people coming toward their location, and he turns and asks Philip a question. Philip, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed all of these people? As I mentioned, this passage, this story, appears in all four Gospels. And in the other Gospels, it mentions that this place where Jesus and the disciples and now this great crowd of people, it says it is a deserted place. That means there's no Publix, there's no Chick-fil-A, there's not even a Dollar General. Can you believe it? There's not even a Dollar General, and that presents a real problem. 20,000 people, it's supper time, and there's no food or provision. That is an obvious problem. I want us to notice just a couple of things real quick. Two things here about this problem. First of all, we see here this problem is first seen by Jesus. It is first seen by Jesus. We see that in verse 5 and 6. Jesus says, how will we feed these people without food? But you see, it says he understood. He knew about it beforehand. He knew what they would do. You see, in his infinite wisdom and knowledge, Jesus knew all about the situation before it even happened. And he knew the problem, what the problem would be, and he knew about the answer. This was simply a test of faith for Philip and the other disciples. When we have problems in life, when we have needs in life, it is often a test of faith for each one of us. This was a biblical story and during the earthly ministry of Jesus, but today all of us as believers, God, our Heavenly Father, rules and reigns from the throne room of heaven, and nothing takes God by surprise. God knows your need before you even have it. He knows your problems before you even go through them. Listen, if the Lord, here it is, listen, if the Lord God of the universe knows our problems before we know our problem, then it's not a problem. Amen? It's not a problem. Listen, let's make this point. God will not bring you to a point of need without already having your need met. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. All right, we got to move on. You see this obvious problem here. It's first seen by Jesus. God knows your problem. God knows your need before it happens in your life. And also notice Philip focused on the problem. Philip focused on the problem. Verse 7, I love this. Listen, here's the deal with Philip. Jesus, Philip, what? Look at that big crowd. Here they come. It's the end of the day. It's supper time. We don't have any food. They're going to be hangry. How are we going to take care of them? It's a test of faith for Philip. But here's the thing. Philip looked at the situation with natural eyes. Philip looked at the situation with his limited human perspective. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me this evening. Listen. Philip looked at this situation through human eyes, with natural eyes, and the situation, therefore, looked hopeless. We have to learn to look at things through supernatural eyes. The Lord God of the universe that knows your need, he is a supernatural God. I don't mean he's like Batman or Superman. He's not a Marvel comic book character. He's the Lord God of the universe. It's all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, ever-present, sovereign God who knows your need, and we have to learn to look at things through his eyes. Philip was the third disciple called by Jesus. So listen. So that meant Philip was with Jesus almost from the very beginning. And he had witnessed all the miracles that Jesus had performed. But yet now he fails to recognize an opportunity for Jesus to do a great work. Our problems are not our problem. We should look at them through God's eyes and see them as an opportunity for God to do a great work. Amen? It's an opportunity for a miracle. If God can speak the word and create the heavens and the earth, he can meet any need that you have. If God can save us from our sins and give us a home in heaven and save us from our sinful condition, then he will handle any problem that we face. But sometimes we operate out of fear instead of faith. How many of you believe that fear and faith cannot exist together in the same heart? We have to live by faith, not by fear. Robert E. Lee said, never take counsel of your fears. Listen, when we have a need, let's make sure we don't listen to our fears, but let's live by faith. Let's never let fear be our guide. Number two, we see here the obvious problem. Notice number two, the optimism of Andrew. Look at verse 8 and 9. Notice what it says here. He says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? And 3 of the 4 gospel versions of this story, it says that the disciples asked Jesus to send the people away. For example, Luke 9 verse 12 says, when the day began to wear away, in other words, getting to the end of the day, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place. But Jesus said, let's feed 20,000 people right here in this deserted place. So Andrew then finds a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and chips. He realized the need was food, so he found food. Andrew was the first disciple to follow Jesus, and he often brought others to Jesus. Now in this situation, he brings a boy and his lunch, 5 pancakes and 2 sardines. Throughout the Bible, we see how God is able to use what seems to be the most insignificant things to perform the biggest miracle. He used a stick to part the Red Sea. He used a sling and a stone to kill a giant. He used manna to feed millions in the wilderness. And here he uses a basket of food to feed several thousand people. On July 2nd, 1982, Larry Walters, also known as Lawn Chair Larry, bought 45 weather balloons, filled them with helium, and tied them to his lawn chair. He strapped himself into his lawn chair, took along, it's Wednesday night, I'm gonna go ahead and say this, it's Wednesday night. He took along a 6-pack of beer. I wouldn't say that on a Sunday morning service. He took along a 6-pack of beer, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and a BB gun. He thought the balloons would lift him about 100 feet in the air, but his lawn chair rose to an altitude of about 16,000 feet. And he found himself in controlled airspace near Long Beach, California Airport. True story. After about 45 minutes in the sky, he returned safely to the ground. After his landing, reporters asked him 3 questions. Number 1, were you scared? Yes. Number 2, Would you do it again? No. Question number three, why did you do it? And Lawn Chair Larry said, because you can't just sit there. That's what he said. Why did you do that, Larry? Because you can't just sit there. Listen, sometimes when we find ourselves facing difficult situations, when we have overwhelming needs, sometimes we can't just sit there. Our faith enables us oftentimes, or sometimes our faith should enable us and motivate us to take action. Faith is the motivation to do what is necessary only. And then God can meet the need if we give him all that we have, just as this little boy did here. All right, number three. We see, number one, first of all, the obvious problem. And then we see the optimism of Andrew. And notice number three, the obedience of the people. Verse 10. Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. I love this. Jesus said, make the people sit down. There was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. The story, here comes this 20,000 people, no food. Jesus asked a question, how do we feed these people, guys? Here it is. In three of the four versions, the disciples said, let's get rid of the people when we get rid of the problem. Send them away. Philip said 200 denarii, in other words, about 6 months' wages worth of bread won't be enough. Let's hold a fundraiser. Andrews went and found some food, but he didn't think it would be enough. Response number four, praise the Lord. Jesus takes control. He tells the disciples to make everybody sit down. The book of Luke says they sat down in groups of 50. Jesus then gave thanks for the bread and the fish, gave it to his disciples, and the disciples gave it out to the people. Notice a contrast here. Philip in verse 7 said 200 denarii wouldn't buy enough bread for everybody. It says to, in my version, to get a little. But listen, in verse 11, it says that after Jesus blessed it, and this miracle, as a result of this miracle, verse 11 says that feed the people bread and fish as much as they wanted. Listen, by faith, sometimes, yes, number two, sometimes God will give us instructions on, there's something, sometimes we have to do something to get ourselves in a position to receive the blessing. But then we got to sit down. Huh? Then we got to sit down and be still and watch God work. He said, have the people sit down. Sometimes by faith, even our most difficult times, we've got to let go and let God. In order to experience the blessings, take hands off, we have to sit down. Just sit down, don't panic, don't worry, don't doubt, and do not work. Let God do you a miracle. Woo! I want to close with this quote. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. God, give us the ability to live with strong, sustaining faith. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here tonight. We all go through difficult times. Maybe, Lord, there's somebody here tonight that's facing a very difficult situation. They have a serious need in their life right now. God, I pray, Lord, if there's something that you would have them to do, some action you would have them to take, to get themselves in a position of blessing and miracle, I pray that you reveal that to them. I pray that be in tune with your will, know what that is. But God, I pray that they just not worry, not panic, but relax and just, as Jesus said, just sit down and let the miracle take place. Bless everyone here as we leave tonight. Keep us safe and healthy. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.